Henry was already talking with her when I got there. They were speaking in Cheyenne, but I caught a few words along with Artie's name. Leaning against the hulk of an old Studebaker carcass, I caught my breath and studied the old girl, who must have been near 100, and always looked as if she'd fallen off the gypsy wagon in an old Universal horror movie. Her gray hair was tied back with a bandana, holding it in place, and she wore a shawl and full skirt along with men's work boots, the steel of the toes winking through the leather. As she talked with the bear, I studied her eyes, so clouded by cataracts that I wasn't sure she could see at all. Then she turned, and I was pretty sure she was looking right through me. Her pupils looked like the clouds overhead.
"There is something wrong with you, Asante?"
All I could think was, that was quick. I slipped my hat off and gently touched the back of my head. "Oh, I got roughed up a little. Took a fall in a canyon."
"Come here."
I stooped so she could look at my head, and she probed the wound with her fingers.
"That is the dream I had, only in my dream you fell and kept falling and falling."
She stood on tiptoes, peering at my head.
"Then many people caught you. Many people acting as one."
She took a step back, but then stopped, reaching out to me.
"Give me your hand."
I glanced at Henry, but then did as she commanded. She slapped it away.
"The other wire."
I tried again, and she took it in both of hers and stared up into my eyes, the roomy, opaque pupils knocking back and forth as if she were picking up an electric charge from my body into hers. The old medicine woman stood like that for the better part of a minute, and then let go of my hand.
"Why do you seek the living in a place of the dead?"
"Excuse me?" She sighed deeply.
"You need my help."
I glanced at Henry again and then back to her. "Well, yep, we're looking for your son."
"You need my help, if more than that."
She turned and hobbled toward the house.
"Asante, come up and I will stitch you back together."
I glanced at the bear. "Really?" We found ourselves in the close kitchen of the small song matriarch. Soon we were sitting at a tiny table with two green-colored jelly jars in front of us, a third filled with a clear liquid. I glanced up at the cabinets on the walls, advertising car parts, refugees from assorted gas stations, and sniffed my glass. "What's in this?"
"Medicine."
She sipped hers and smiled, pulling a copious amount of chewing tobacco from a beaded leather pouch and stuffing it into her mouth. I sniffed the clear liquid some more. "It smells antiseptic." "How about I just dab it on the back of my head?" She chewed.
"Drink."
Knowing full well that the last time I'd had dealings with her, she'd sent me around the moon with peyote, I did as she said. Researchers from the National Institutes of Health have mapped more than 1,000 gut bacterial species that live in harmony with their human hosts, and right now I was pretty sure I'd just poisoned 90% of mine. She nodded and smiled through the tobacco.
"Good, huh?"
I smiled back, pretty sure there was no longer any enamel on my teeth. "Am I going to go blind?" She laughed.
"Hasn't hurt me."
"Uh-huh." She stood and began going through one of her kitchen drawers, pulling out an old spool of embroidery thread and a needle, with which you could harpoon whales.
"You know, Asante, every time I see you, you're looking for my son."
"Your son is always involved in things that concern me."
"Maybe you need to find some other concerns."
She spit a pinpoint stream into a dented spittoon beside the door, expertly wiping the remainder from her lower lip with her forefinger, and then began threading the needle.
"Take your hat off."
"Do I have to?" She ignored me, and I did as she requested. "We understand Artie's gotten religion." She shrugged, finally capturing the thread with the eye of the needle, and then, straddling my knee, leaned over me to examine the playing field.
"He's attempting to find parts of himself that are missing. Some people do that by looking within, and some from looking without."
"Which one is Artie?" She stabbed the needle into my hide, and it felt like she was scalping me.
"Ow! Hold still."
She looked out the back window toward an old fire pit in which she cooked the illegal game her son sometimes brought her.
He lives out in those woods, and there are things there in the darkness that speak to him.
Her eyes came back to mine.
Have they spoken to you?
I said nothing as she pierced my skin again, and I felt the wound drawing closed.
Something has happened to you out there, between worlds.
I got lost and hit my head.
More than that, I think.
She looped a few more stitches as Henry sat there covering a smile.
Does it hurt?
Yep.
Good. Only the living feel pain. It is the price we pay.
She leaned back, examining her handiwork, and then lowered her face to mine, very close, with a gravity that was more than a little unsettling.
Are you afraid, Asante?
Of you and that needle, yep. She bent back over my head, biting the thread in two, and then sat on my knee. She continued to look at me.
If I were you, I would be.
I was so desperate for something to do, I took another swig from my small glass, finding nothing there. Why is that?
It has tasted you, and you are now marked.
Marked as what?
To be taken by the Eveos Eomus.